Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
First time I saw and actually saw an apparition was back in 1997 or 8, 98 maybe. And I was down in the basement and my wife was sleeping and I got up early and I looked over in the bedroom. Of course, I had to get to work early. I work at 6 in the morning and she doesn't work till later. And standing over her was a full-bodied apparition. And it was bent over, and it was there for just a moment. And I thought, what is that? Is that really what I think it is? And I've always wanted to see a ghost, but, you know, my experience has more been where I've heard them or things, strange things would happen. Not so much seeing them in a full body like that. Well, then a car went by, and we were in the basement. Our bedrooms were in the basement. And so as the light hit the bedroom window, this thing disappeared. And I thought, oh, well, it's just from the car going by. And so I excused it away, probably for close to 10 years or 5 to 10 years before I started to realize, hey, wait a second. My guest this week has had a lot of experience with ghosts, and he's not really a ghost hunter, but through a friend, we've communicated. His name is Keith Wisnow. And Keith, at one point, lived, I believe, in Upper Michigan. He now works in Saginaw, Michigan. He's on the phone with me today. How are you doing, Keith?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am great. So a friend of ours, we both know, used to work with Jean. She's actually been on my show as far as like I've had different people do readings, and Jean was on one time and somebody helped her a little bit.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool because I think all of us are curious, aren't we?
I think so.
When it comes to this, when it comes to something, the unknown. So you've had how many experiences? I'm guessing a lot of them, right?
Oh, yeah, there's probably more than I can remember, actually, off the top of my head. But ever since I was around 8 years old, I can remember seeing things that I couldn't really explain. And growing up in a Catholic household, my family wasn't really open to it, so whenever these experiences would happen and I would say, hey, look at this or look at that, I would always kind of get, you're seeing something imaginary or it's your imaginary
friend. Did you think it was imaginary for a while?
I kind of went back and forth with it, and it's funny how there's always been, you know, traumatic things that happen in life, and it happens in everyone's life. But whenever there's something traumatic, it seems like the sense that I have has grown, and in those instances, I don't feel like I'm imagining it. Mm. Or it's more vivid, I guess.
So your earliest memory was when you were very young, 8 years old,
yeah.
Roughly.
Yeah, around 8 years old. Yeah.
And what did you see, like an actual physical, look like a physical person?
What we were doing, Saginaw has a couple of different one ways of the prominent main streets of downtown, and we were on our way home one evening from a shopping mall, and we were going down Jefferson Avenue, and there is a whole slew of really historic homes on the street, and we came to a four-way stop, and this home on the corner kind of struck me. Something told me to kind of look at it, and I looked over, and there's this woman standing at the window, and she's kind of, I don't know, kind of see-through-ish almost. Mm-hmm. And she's holding back the shears in this window. And I guess you could say that she was just as sheer as the windows were.
Mm.
And I said to my mom, you know, Mama, look at that lady in the window. And my mother looked, and there was no lady, she said. And I never really forgot. I remember saying to my sister, well, do you see her? And my sister's like, no, I don't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about the first time I can remember seeing something. But again, it's always been kind of tied around something traumatic. So not very soon before that, an aunt of mine had passed away.
Ah.
and it was just kind of something that I guess
now. Why do you think that happens like that for you?
I don't know if it like opens my mind more to that realm or what the case is. I don't know.
Think that maybe you have some people call it gifted, have some abilities. Do you think you have abilities that maybe others around you don't have?
Absolutely. Even in my life today, I'll say to my wife, the one sense that I get usually before I see something is I get a strong falling feeling.
Really?
As if you're at the top of a roller coaster and you're getting ready to fall over that top hill, you know?
Wow. That is interesting. I've never heard anybody say that. And everybody, I'm sure, is going to have a different... You know, with me, I can't say specifically that I've ever really noticed anything different. Yeah. That's cool that you're able to pick that up.
Mm. Yeah, it's kind of like a stoplight telling me, hey, you're going to see something almost. So,
wow.
Usually whenever I feel the feeling, I start to look around, and my wife will... She kind of looks at me like I'm crazy or something. She'll see me looking around, and she'll go, okay, and I'm like... Yeah, I've got the falling feeling, and usually it's validated in some way.
You see somebody. You think there are those trying to just communicate with you?
Yeah, I guess I would call it that. I don't want to say I'm psychic or that I have that gift all the time, but when it's there, it's definitely there. How to say it.
So I guess what I'm saying is that here's what I've learned. Those that have the ability to see or hear, they're going to start seeking you out because they do want to get a message. Now, sometimes maybe we're just seeing, you know, a vision of something that's playing out over and over again, like a loop. But other times there's an actual spirit that is, hey, somebody's finally noticed me after 100 years, you know, I've been waiting here. Do you ever feel anything like that, Keith?
Well, it's funny that you ask. Recently, my wife and I have become involved with an organization in which we're trying to restore an old train station here in the Saginaw area. And the iconic thing is that it's the largest Victorian train station left in our country.
Wow.
And while we're inside its gates in the presence of this magnificent building, this falling feeling is with me quite frequently. In some instances, it never leaves me from the minute I walk through the gate.
Wow.
And talking about validation, there was one day that we were down at the station. We were working to clean up weeds and debris that had been built up over time. And this building kind of remained almost like a time capsule for about 20 years. People weren't going into this building. It was basically abandoned. And so we're in there cleaning up weeds and debris, and I had that feeling once again, the falling feeling, and I, out of the corner of my eye, saw what looked like a woman in white, in a white dress or white outfit somehow, almost like manifest herself outside of another door on the other side of the building, and out of the corner of my eye, I see her kind of float by the door.
You think she was trying to get your attention, or she just was doing her thing and you happened to see it?
I think she was trying to get my attention.
Interesting.
And more recently, some new members of our organization have purchased what they call a spirit box and conducted sessions down there. And every time they turn this thing on, it managed to say my name somehow.
Now, how does that work? I think I saw one of those on one of those ghost hunting shows. Spirit box.
What a spirit box does is it takes radio frequency and it reverses through the signal. So I can't really tell you how many radio stations are in a given area. You probably could answer that more accurate than I could. But what it does is it reverses the signal so that even if you pick up a radio station, you don't pick up what would sound like a song. For instance, it just sounds like garble, and you're on each station for less than a second. But what we've heard, like I said, is just a voice. And the one day we were in there, and they said, "Well, can you say hello? Let us know that you're there." And the strange thing was is that you heard hi or hello or howdy or...
Was it real clear?
Very clear.
Wow.
And it's different voices. Like, you can hear the difference between male and female.
Mm-hmm.
Old and young. It's really bizarre, actually.
I got to get one of those spirit boxes. That's really cool. I bet you they probably cost a lot of money, huh?
You know, I really don't know. I went into our local Best Buy, actually, here in Saginaw, and I asked them if they carried such a thing, and of course they looked at me like I was crazy. But I would think that it's something that you have to purchase online.
Yeah, probably somewhere. Well, that's awesome. And so then you were able to have a conversation with these spirits?
Well, that's the interesting part. I mean, it doesn't come out in the context in which I'd like. I mean, we're sitting there for the one night, what felt like 2 hours. Okay, anytime you can tell me what you need to tell me so I can help you or whatever. And we sat there, like I said, it felt like for 2 hours. And, you know, you hear hi a lot, which, from what I've been told, is the easiest thing for a spirit to,
mm-hmm.
to conduct, you know, to say, you know, hello, it takes less energy or what have you. And in the one instance that we were down there, you know, we asked, what can we do for you, and or what are you looking for, and they said, God.
Really?
So,
you never heard an answer like, brains.
No, nothing as crazy as what you hear in the movies.
Because if you had heard that, I think I would have been out of there. eat brain. Yeah, oh, zombies. So actually one said, God?
Yeah.
So it was like trapped and lost, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And did you ever work with trying to help people or help beings go to the light if that's what they want? Do you ever bring in anybody that does that?
We have people part of our organization that are helping us with that.
Okay, that's cool.
Absolutely. So.
And so you may have helped some spirits crossed over.
We're hoping. I mean, it's sad that, you know, somebody's looking for God. They're looking for a way out of whatever, if they're in purgatory or whatever they're in, that they're looking for some kind of way. Yeah, we absolutely would want to help.
How does this affect your religious beliefs?
I have to say I'm not the strongest Catholic in my adult life. There are parts of my religious life that I don't buy at all, and I feel like if you're going to be a good Catholic, for one, that you have to believe it all or nothing kind of thing. So I don't really practice heavily,
mm-hmm.
but I do believe in God. I believe in a higher power, and I believe that you don't have to congregate to, you know, to actually praise God and all.
You know, it's like I've had a lot of really, really strange things, not just with spirits, in my life. And I don't see it, you know, like I did it when I was a kid. I was exposed through Lutheran faith. And even then, I believed in reincarnation. Even then. I don't know why, but I did. And so I always kept thinking, well, God keeps sending us back down here because we're such idiots. You know, we keep messing up or something. So how can you learn it all in one time? I always thought, how can you learn it all in one time? You know? And so over the years, that changes. Like you, because of your experiences, it changes the way... And I just keep open minds to all things that are positive. So if you came on the show and were to tell me, you know, TJ, I believe in this and this and this, as long as we don't have to sacrifice chickens or do something negative, I'd be willing to listen to what you had to say. Because how else can we learn?
Right.
So have you ever had any really frightening experiences, something that you thought was maybe a little darker or something that was harassing you?
Well, it's funny. With the whole being involved in the Potter Street Station, coming home, I have had some issues that I almost feel like I've been followed, or I don't know how to explain it. But there was one evening that we were sitting at home and the house was quiet. We had put my daughter to bed for the evening, and I could have swore that I heard footsteps walking through our house. And then not long after that, my wife had heard a knock come from... It was almost like they were asking permission to enter our bedroom or something.
Mm.
And you know, I hear things like that from time to time, and I try not to say too much to my wife because I don't want to scare her from living in her own home, you know.
Has she picked up on that stuff? Has she become more psychic because being around you? Have you noticed anything?
She's starting to hear more things. And
yeah.
It's funny. I won't say it out loud. I'll think it in my mind, like, I wonder if she heard that. And a couple minutes later, she'll be like, did you hear that noise? I'm like, there's my validation that, you know, I'm not just hearing things.
So it's like you almost like rubbed off on her a little bit.
I think so. Yeah, absolutely. Well,
what about your daughter? Does she have a psychic gift? Because kids seem to be more open to that.
Yes, absolutely. She's been in, well, I'll kind of tell you, kind of a strange, creepy thing for me. When she was about, I would say, 3 years old, she was playing in her bedroom. And we don't have a large house with less than 1,000 square feet. And I was in our front room within earshot of her, and I can hear her, like, playing in the room. And next thing you know, she's talking to someone. And I assume it's my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear someone talking back to her. But it's not like, you can't make out what's being said. I could hear what she was saying, but...
You could hear... Wow, that's weird. That is really weird. You could actually hear somebody talking back to her.
Right. So I went in the room, and I'm like, honey, who are you talking to? And she said, it's a lady.
How old was she at that point?
I want to say she was maybe 3.5, almost 4.
Isn't that amazing how kids view that, Keith, when they view it like not a big deal, right?
Right, right.
And we're going, oh my goodness, what is that? Who is that?
Yeah, I was alarmed. I ran in her room, and I'm like, you know, like I said, who are you talking to? And my wife was in another part of the house, and she comes into the same room, and she says, well, what's going on? And I said, I could have swore that you were in here talking to our daughter. And she said, no, I've been playing on the computer or playing on Facebook or whatever it was. And I was just completely taken back by that, you know.
That, yeah. What did you do?
We had a friend actually come in, and they call it smudging.
Right, which is, right. You
know, more or less blessing your house.
Right. They use the, what do they burn? They burn the...
Sage.
Sage is what it is, yeah.
Yeah. So we had that, and we said, you know, all things good can stay, and everything else must leave with our mantra. And I hadn't noticed anything for a while after that in the house until we became involved with the Potter Street Station again, and that's when things started coming back to life, I guess you could say.
So do you have anything right now that's bothering you at all?
Well, like I said, this whole spirit box thing that we've been conducting down at the station, it almost seems as if things have heightened again. Things are, there's obviously somebody's trying to tell us something. And
but you don't feel it's a dark, negative thing?
I don't feel it's negative or dark. I just feel almost annoyed by it. I mean, you'll be sitting at dinner, and you just want to have a peaceful meal, and all of a sudden you get the falling feeling. It's just like, oh, okay, what
have
is
you,
it?
Have you tried to tell them to leave you alone at that point?
I have. I've said it out loud and in my mind.
Okay. Okay.
In our home, and I try not to make it a big deal out
right.
of, with my daughter, for one, because I don't want her to think that she's abnormal or
I'm
abnormal.
One thing I could suggest, and it really depends on what you believe, I guess, but there's a good friend of mine who I call the Angel Lady, Reverend Debbie, non-denominational, but she has the ability to communicate with angels. And last year, I've had spirits around me my whole life. I don't always see them. I rarely see them. But somebody was knocking on the door and messing with me on my front door. And sometimes I get home. I work early in the morning. I'll take a nap on the couch. And there's this pounding on the door. It wakes me up. And I'm thinking, well, maybe it was a dream. Well, it happened again shortly after that. And I was awake. And nobody's there. And I live out in the country. So it's not like somebody could run up to the door and I wouldn't see him running away. So she told me, and I believe this, there are several ways we can protect ourselves. But to me, the easiest one is just to ask the angels. The angels, And I don't know if you believe in them, but the angels, I'm guessing you do since you're Catholic, probably. The angels don't assist unless we ask them. And they don't care what religion we belong to. And so I will have, she told me to ask the angels to stand guard in the four corners of my home. So that's what I did. And she also said, call on the Archangel Michael, because he is very powerful and he's not afraid. And nothing will take him on. He is something darker energies would not mess with. You know, this theory that, well, the dark and the light would battle someday and the light would eventually win. There's no challenge. Dark will run away from light, as far as I can see. So I've called on him and I asked my house to have the angels stand in the four corners. I've had no problems ever since then. So, and I'm not saying that this was a negative spirit. I think it was just somebody messing with me a little bit. And it could have been a friend or a family member. Who knows?
Right.
And to me, it's just a real simple, we sometimes think we're powerless. Some people will call in the light. Oh, I'm calling in the light. I guess you can do that too, right? It just depends if you really believe that. You know, if you don't believe it, it may not have a whole lot of effect. So I just think it's awesome that you're willing to share this. Is there anything else that, I know you got to go back to work pretty soon. I appreciate you doing this on your time during your lunch break. Anything else that you want to go into that maybe is really cool or creepy or weird or something you want to share?
No, not really. I guess we've pretty much covered most of it. I guess the only other thing that I was going to tell you when we were in discussion is that over the years I've written down all of my experiences, and those experiences I'm actually working on putting into a collection, or kind of like a coffee table book, if you will.
That's cool. That's cool.
So, That is something that you can maybe look forward in the future. And maybe,
you know, if you ever do come out with that book, you feel free to get a hold of me, Keith, and we'll talk all about it. You know,
sure.
My show is really about getting the word out. So what do you think these spirits, are they, like you had mentioned earlier, that are they trapped? Are they paying off some kind of debt?
It's funny. I have different feelings about each instance, I guess. I'll tell you one more story, I guess. Recently, we were in the Midland area, which is not very far from Saginaw. And I was going to meet a friend for lunch, and she was running late. And I called her on her cell phone, and she said, I'm running late. I'll be there. I'll explain when I get there. So 45 minutes later, she arrived, but in her absence while I was waiting, I again had the falling feeling. And kind of, you know, looking around, trying to not look like I'd stand out, you know, as I'm looking around mm-hmm. to see where it's coming from, you know. I, in my mind, was, like, envisioning this 7-year-old boy, and I'm like, okay, I don't know what this means, but so I'm envisioning a 7-year-old boy in my mind, and I felt, like, sad or, you know, a sense of loss. And my friend arrived, and she says, oh, Keith, I'm so sorry that I was running so late. I just left a funeral home. One of our tenants/friends just lost her 8-year-old son to a battle of cancer.
Wow.
And I said, you know, I have to tell you, while you were doing what you needed to do and I was sitting here, I had this thing pop into my mind, and I think that whatever this was, you know, coming to visit you, and they just happened to get here and leave before you arrived.
Or maybe they were coming to you, Keith, because they knew you could see them and you would pass a message on.
Perhaps. And that's one thing that my friend asked, well, do you have something you want to tell me? And I said, well, I felt that this energy was sad, but that they also were okay.
Right.
So I don't know if she's passed that along to the mother that lost the son. And forgive me, I don't have the courage to call the myself.
You haven't done that. Well, maybe, you know, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but maybe that's the step you were meant to take. And who knows what our path is, but I see this with so many people that I talk to. They start out doing a little bit of this, and then they become a little more of this, and eventually they get past the fear of it, myself included, about talking about these things. It took me a long time to think that I was going to share things that have happened to me that most people would think would be a little loony. And right. when I started doing that, it's like it opened doorways for others. Maybe it helped them, or maybe they just weren't afraid to talk about their own thing. I don't right. want to push you down a path you don't want to go. But it could be possible that maybe you can comfort and help others. And even if you choose not to do that, you've got your own life to live too, I think, right? So can't save everybody, but it's kind of neat that maybe you can share a word. That could,
right.
You ever watch that Long Island Medium, Gail? You ever see her?
I have. I actually take a lot of stock in what she has to say.
And doesn't it seem amazing that she can bring such comfort to people? I just love, whether she's genuine or not, I feel she is, because the things she hits. But it's TV. You really don't know 100%.
Right.
But I just think it's cool that somebody can share and make a difference. And you got to wonder that there's always a bigger picture, don't you think, Keith? In all of this,
absolutely.
Even in the spiritual end of it. Mm-hmm. And so we're all connected to that, and we're a part of it. And so, I don't know. You have your own path. I know what mine is pretty, at least right now I do. And I really appreciate you sharing these things with me. And hopefully other people will feel the same way. Because you're not a ghost hunter, right? You're just a guy who's had a lot of experiences and maybe was a little leery to do these kind of things, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And so how do you feel now?
It actually makes me feel a little bit more whole.
Cool.
To have people around me that are a little bit more understanding. That's one thing that I've tried to do in my adult life is surround myself with people that, well, obviously are in the same stage of life, I guess, or what have you, as I am. So that
How do you feel about sharing this in this interview? Is that something you feel comfortable with now? Or you feel better about?
Yeah, in the beginning, maybe I felt a little concerned, but now I feel good about it.
Nobody's going to hunt you down on a thing that listens to my show. Nobody's going to call you. We don't have your numbers. We're not going to give that out. It's like, I just think when you take that first initial step and you get past, so many more things can happen. And maybe I'm wrong on this, Keith, but I wish you the best, and I will keep in contact. And when you get the coffee book, please feel free to contact me. I hope you do.
I will, absolutely.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.